Timber cutting, or the lack of it, on public land in Oregon does not stay out of the news for long. The issue came back in a big way last week when Oregon U.S. Senator Ron Wyden announced his version of a bill to ramp up both timber production and environmental protections on the so-called ONC timberlands managed by the Bureau of Land Management in western Oregon. A different bill already passed the U.S. House. Wyden says his bill has what it takes to get through the Senate, more protected land than the House bill, less timber production as well. Reactions have been predictably speedy and intense from several sides of the timber issue. There was a measured response at first from the Association of ONC Counties, the counties that draw timber revenue from the timber sales on the ONC lands. Doug Robertson is both a Douglas County Commissioner and the president of the Association of ONC Counties and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Doug, thanks for joining us again.
Morning, Jeff. Happy to be here.
So with the two hats, are you responding for yourself or the association, and is there any particular difference at this point?
My responses are on behalf of the association.
Okay. So I know the initial response on the 26th was to say that there was really going to be a line-by-line review of what's in the bill. And has that review taken place?
It is in the process and will take, you know, it's a fairly complicated and detailed bill, 188 pages. So we're going to take our time and, as indicated earlier, go through it line by line to validate the outputs. So we will have a position, fairly detailed position on the bill at the end of that process.
And how long might that take?
Well, it'll take several weeks, I assume. We have, you know, the lawyers, the biologists, the foresters, the economists looking at all phases of it. And as I said, and I don't know if you had a chance to look at it, but it's a pretty complex piece of legislation. It's on Senator Wyden's webpage, I believe, so folks who are interested in it can certainly access it.
And it comes with colored maps and everything. And in fact, I mean, this is really being cast as a rethinking, I think, of the ONC lands. It is, in fact, called the ONC Land Grant Act of 2013. Which would tend to make it look like a bit more of a wholesale change than perhaps some other bits of legislation in the past.
Well, it's a significant change. There's no question about that. And also the DeFazio-Walden-Schrader bill, the ONC Trust Conservation Jobs Act, is also a departure from the ONC Act, but does provide levels of harvest and dollars for the county, and of course gains for the conservation community that the association supports.
So the association did support the OCTCJA?
Yes.
All right. But at this point, withholding judgment until there's a further review. I mean, at first glance, I mean, is there anything that was terribly unexpected in the Wyden bill?
Well, it was disappointing in I guess on three levels, which really form the principles that we, and not just we, but when I say we, the Association of ONC Counties, but I'm including really the governor and our congressional delegation in that as well. And that was a reasonable level of certainty that the continuing litigation and appeals and lawsuits that have basically paralyzed the management of these lands over the last several decades would be dramatically reduced. We don't see that again at first blush in the Wyden bill, nor do we see the development of harvest levels that are going to achieve the outputs that are going to be necessary to really have an impact on the economy in these rural resource-dependent communities. And that, of course, is going to translate directly into dollars for the county. As is expressed in the bill, there's something in the neighborhood, I think, of $17 million annually projected, which is almost de minimis in terms of what these lands are capable of producing and what's needed by the counties to provide the adequate levels of public service.
Did you say $17 million with an M?
$17 million annually, that's correct.
For all 18 ONC counties?
Yes.
That would not come close to what the county's needs are, would it?
It wouldn't, no, it wouldn't, nor actually And to Senator Wyden's credit, he has certainly been there to move the safety net legislation at every turn in the road. When it appeared that it was dead, we weren't going to get any more, Senator Wyden found a way to do that. The last bit of that is provided in the helium bill, I think, as you know, at a level of about $34 million, which in and of itself is not adequate to keep counties like Curry and Josephine and Coos and others off the brink of insolvency. So, we need something certainly much more than that relative just to the revenue issue.
How different, then, is the revenue projection in the Walden-DeFazio-Schrader or OCTCJA bill versus this?
Dramatically different. It's our estimate that upon initiation of the OMC Trust Conservation Jobs Act, the counties would begin receiving something in the neighborhood of $60 to $70 million, and that would ramp up to somewhere between $90 and $100 million. Dollars, which is certainly not the end all do all in terms of receipts for the counties, but it is a significant step forward. There are several reasons why there's a dramatic difference. As you know, in the trust proposal, half of the ONC lands would go into a trust to be managed by a board of trustees, not under federal authority, but under state law. And that, as opposed to Senator Wyden's bill, where the forest management areas would be managed under the Johnson-Franklin Ecological Forestry Program, it's much more expensive and much more limited in terms of output from the land base. And that creates a significant difference in the revenue generated. And also, there's about 600,000 acres of ONC land to be managed, included in the DeFazio bill, that is not included in the Wyden bill. And when you combine all of those things, there's a dramatic difference not only in the volume output, but in the dollars generated.
Doug Robertson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Douglas County Commissioner and President of the Association of ONC Counties, which have historically, at least for the better part of a century, relied on timber income from the ONC lands in Western Oregon to balance their budgets and to pay for county services. Join us on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, email address jx@jeffnet.org. Was the traditional split on the ONC lands 50-50 under the original ONC Act?
No, it was 75-25 originally, but it evolved into a 50-50 split when the counties realized the importance of management on these lands. They voluntarily gave up 25% of their share to make sure that the management, the reforestation and so on, kept up at a very high level.
So half the money then of the timber income stayed with the federal government. The other half went to the counties to be distributed based on land allocation within those, right?
That's correct.
So in Douglas County, for example, I remember talking to somebody in the treasurer's office, I guess, around 1990 or so. And at that point, it was something like 60% of the county's income was from ONC lands. And what's the more recent number?
Well, it's hovered between 50 and 70%, and still is. As other revenues have decreased, not just our county, but in all counties, the dollars generated, in this case, from the ONC safety net became extremely important for many reasons, not the least of which is that the dollars that come from the ONC lands are discretionary. In other words, counties can use those for law enforcement, libraries, health and social services, as opposed to the dollars that come from the Forest Service lands, the Rogue Siskiyou, the Umpqua, the Mount Hood. Those dollars are dedicated to roads and bridges and education. So the ONC dollars are very important, not only for that reason, but they have been a stable source of income historically that the counties could count on and plan for.
We have a couple of calls for you. Let's go first to Derek and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Douglas County Commissioner Doug Robertson.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to express the viewpoint that this is a very difficult conversation for me to listen to, just simply because I don't share the view that there's a problem to begin with. Let me explain. I don't see what the issue is. Why people are having issues with judges and lawyers, for one. Those are the people who adjudicate the law. And so if there is litigation, quote, litigation holding up something, that's not because litigation is inherently bad. It's actually trying to get people to enforce the law. And so it would be great if our land managers could actually obey the law and stick with the rules that they are asked to work within. And then furthermore, all it takes is a flight over the region for a person to look down and see what the problem with forest management has been over the last 60, 80 years. I don't think lack of timber has been an issue. I think poor policy and management has been the issue.
All right. Thanks for the call, Derek. Appreciate it. So the issues you laid out were litigation and land management generally, Doug.
Well, and I understand the caller's frustration. we share it. The problem is that the federal laws have become so complex and confusing and overlapping. The rules, restrictions, regulations, and requirements of a labyrinth of federal laws has basically made it impossible for these lands to be managed for their stated purposes. And remember, the ONC lands are not national forests. They're a very unique category of lands managed not by the Forest Service but by the Bureau of Land Management, and expressly is embedded in the ONC Act, federal law, which is still current. For the benefit of the counties in which they're located. The lands are to produce not less than 500 million board feet until the sustained yield capacity of that land base is determined. Let me just mention quickly what sustained yield means and what these lands can produce. In 1937, when the Act was passed by Congress, there were approximately 50 billion board feet of timber standing on the ONC lands. In 1987, the 50-year anniversary of the ONC Act, there was another set of cruises done on the land, and there was slightly more than 50 billion board feet standing on the lands. In the 50 years between 1937 and 1987, there were approximately 48 billion feet of timber harvested. That's the genius of sustained yield. Today, there's about 73 billion feet of standing timber on those lands. So they haven't been over-harvested by any means, and what is being called for in the DeFazio bill is really the minimum that's required by the Act, and that's 500 million feet a year. Even though there are really no numbers in the DeFazio bill, it appears that the trust could produce that quantity of volume.
And the Wyden bill is talking about potentially 300 to 350 million board feet per year for the next 20 years, which is even less than that.
That's correct.
Let's take another call. We have Pam and Dexter on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Wyden ONC bill with Doug Robertson, who's the president of the Association of ONC Counties.
Hi. Well, my concern is the private forests have been overcut. Just here in Lane County in the last two or three years, there's been an increase 75% of the private forests, which are part of the checkerboard. So while the public forests are pretty healthy, the BLM and ONC lands, which are federally owned, I might add, they're sequestering carbon, which we could actually get paid for, which is a win-win because we can help maintain a healthy forest, which sequesters carbon, which is good for the environment and for the wildlife and the water. Meanwhile, the private timberlands are carbon neutral because they're cutting them so fast that the carbon is not sequestered in the balance. And I'm really concerned about why aren't we talking about the timber harvest tax increase to like what Washington and California pay, because Oregon's abysmally low, and maybe a export tax for raw timber to Asia so the mills are working more. I mean, none of this is being talked about. The only thing I'm hearing is get in there and cut more trees. And then I was reading Wyden's plan in the Register Guard, and there's a part in there that really disturbs me that says, allowing the BLM to exchange ONC lands with suitable private or state-owned lands to reduce the checkerboard. And all I can think of is, oh, so now they want to switch so we get the overcut, clear-cut lands and that they've been spraying with poison, and then they get the only healthy forest left. So I just think this is basically a gift to big timber. I don't see it balanced. And the Northwest Forest Plan, which is would be taken away, has been proven to help the forests maintain their health, and the watershed would be less protected by this plan. It's just, we got to think differently. The forests have been depleted and overcut for many years, especially in the 80s, and they need at least 60 years, 70 years to get back to a decent ecosystem, because these are the last forests of our country in the mainland.
Okay,
so,
Pam, let's give a chance for an answer here.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And one thing, too, about exchanging lands, that's been going on for decades now. I know the BLM has been trying to get some contiguity so it doesn't have that checkerboard pattern. The original railroad land grant was done in alternating sections, so there's a section that is federal, a section that's not, a section that is, and so forth. It really does look like a checkerboard on a map. But Doug Robertson, about Pam's point about other sources of revenue coming off the lands, has that been explored extensively?
Well, let me just quickly respond to Pam. First of all, what included in both proposals is the opportunity, really, to identify areas, Jeffrey, as you pointed out, the alternate sections, to identify areas that are sensitive watersheds, strongholds for the upland watersheds for anadromous fish and so on, and block those areas up to offer more protection in those areas and get away from the checkerboard and use other land, public domain lands, for instance, as an exchange medium. So it was really a conservation intent that the exchange provision was included. I would also point out that we hear this quite a bit. Why don't we tax those raw logs that are going offshore? The reason we don't is because it's unconstitutional. An export tax is unconstitutional. It's prohibited by the Constitution for obvious reasons. When you think about the commodities that are produced, whether it's wheat or soybeans or whatever, competing interests that had the ability to put an export tax on one commodity and not the other would have an enormous advantage. So the founders understood that clearly and prohibited that in the Constitution. So these are all issues that are constantly being reviewed. The timber tax issue. The taxation in Oregon is is one of the most complex set of rules and regulations, I think, that exists anywhere. But that's the purview of the state legislature, and to the extent they deal with it, they will deal with it. But those things aren't included in either of these bills.
Now, what about adherence to the Northwest Forest Plan, which is getting on 20 years old now, designed to unlock the forests to get things moving again? Is that respected in either of these bills, both of the bills?
Well, to a large degree, it appears that the Wyden proposal is simply a rewrite of the Northwest Forest Plan. One of the big problems with the Northwest Forest Plan, which again has been recognized by just about everybody, is the fact that it can't be implemented because of the opportunities for litigation. And for those folks whose desire it is to stop the activity on federal forest lands, there's a rich opportunity to litigate on just about every phase of a timber sale, a planning process, or anything else that involves activity on the federal lands. So that's one of the reasons that the trust proposal takes these lands out from under federal authority and puts them under the authority of an enhanced Oregon Forest Practices Act, with the governor appointing a board of trustees to manage that land base.
Which I imagine is the most attractive thing to the Association of ONC Counties, is that it gets the regulation it gets the management of the lands much closer to home.
It gets it much closer to home and much more in the concept of the ONC Act for this very unique category of lands, which for 40 years were all in private ownership.
Political realities, we're almost out of time here. I mean, Peter DeFazio himself said 3 of the 5 titles in the House bill would die in the Senate. Is it going to be hard to reconcile these bills if the Wyden bill does pass in the Senate?
Well, our hope is, and on a positive note, I think the fact that we have recognition on the highest level, and certainly our Oregon representatives, that this issue needs a solution, and our hope is they'll come together with these two proposals, take the best out of each of them, and come up with the kind of outputs that are necessary for all involved.
All right, Doug Robertson, Douglas County Commissioner, President of the Association of ONC Counties, thank you so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you.